Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's episode is brought to you in part by one of our favorite sponsors, Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish is by far the best shooting machine on the market, and if you want a discount off a new machine, please be sure to mention Rising Coaches and you'll save up to $300. For more information, visit drdishbasketball.com or visit one of their social media platforms at @drdishbball. Also, if you're not already a member and are interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit risingcoaches.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that will allow you to develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that don't get posted anywhere else. For more information, please visit risingcoaches.com and become a member today. All right, today we have a very special guest, Wes Brown, Canada's number one basketball scout and founder of the Monday Morning Scouting Report. Wes, how you doing, sir?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me, man.
Good. Thank you for being here. Kind of a little bit last second type deal, but excited to visit with you here over the next 30 to 40 minutes and kind of go from there. But tell us a little about your journey. How did you become, you know, a founder of your own scouting service, and how does it work, and what is it that you do on a daily basis? And basically tell us a little bit of your background.
Yeah, I graduated law school in 2013, had really no interest in pursuing that as a career, to be honest. I knew I wanted to be in scouting and just had to find a way in. I coached for a little, coached a university back home, actually got an interview with the Raptors by just being a pest, didn't work out. So ended up hearing about someone that had a scouting website for the draft. So I thought, you know, that was an interesting idea, a way for me to show my work, what I could do. So I started a scouting website, which is nbaprospects.com, which I still use as my URL for my business, built that up, gave information on the entire draft, ended up just from networking and going to events, meeting with a lot of the Dallas guys, ended up at dinner somehow with Donnie Nelson and the whole staff. They grilled me, they loved my stuff. So they hired me for their G League team, who I scouted for a season, but, you know, I really realized the only way to move up in the industry was kind of to have a niche. Like, you know, I mean, I thought I was a good scout, but I'm sure there's a million people that are. So what differentiates you, you know? So I started just going to high school games in Toronto and, you know, started just seeing whatever basketball I could. And I was sending out free reports every Monday. That's the Monday Morning Scouting Report, which was my way of being a pest without being a pest. They could expect it on Mondays rather than me just badgering them. So I just started going to high school games and, you know, shaking hands and meeting everyone I could and writing my reports and trying to make contacts with college coaches. And it just built and built. And, you know, now we're like probably 5.5 years deep. If anyone wants to know about Canadian players, I help, you know, NBA teams, NCAA, U Sport at Canadian universities, JUCO, every level, recruit Canadian kids. And you asked, you know, what I do on a day-to-day basis. I mean, for the most part, I go to high school games and, you know, just a lot of information coming my way that I gather and send out to, you know, whoever's appropriate, really.
Yeah, that's a really impressive story. And, you know, we get a lot of unique stories in coaching and scouting and different things in the world of basketball. And, you know, people that just love basketball, regardless of what the profession is or major, you know, you being in law is kind of unique that, you know, you get to do what you really love and follow your passion, even though, you know, you probably don't make as much money if you were a lawyer. But tell us a little bit about some of the differences that you've noticed between Canadian basketball and American basketball, or something that we might not know or stubborn to not know, the difference, or something that, you know, is special about Canadian basketball. You know, they've produced probably the second most NBA players of any country. And, you know, just talk a little bit about Canadian basketball, what it means to you, and, you know, kind of go off that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot more players in America. There's a lot more size and athleticism in general. For every, you know, five guys that we have, you guys might have 30 of them. You know, a 6'7" super athletic, you know, NBA style wing. I mean, you know, they're in the boatloads. You know, I'm in Portland right now. Canadian basketball is rising, man. I think there's still ways to go in terms of recruiting. You know, everybody talks about Canada is the second most NBA players, and, you know, oh, Canada, they've got a ton of talent, but like really investing in it. And, you know, I help a number of teams, but like even some of them haven't fully, you know, come to Toronto or come to Ontario and, you know, recruited those top teams and put the time and money and resources in. And then there's even more teams that, you know, just they'll say that, but they don't actually come and do it. So there's still so much talent that goes under recruited. So I think that's the biggest thing in Canada. It's that, you know, from my experience, and I feel no way about it, but you know, an American six is seen as equal to Canadian seven, for example, you know, if you're rating out of 10, like and especially now, unfortunately, with the transfer market, you know, it goes pretty much transfers and then Americans, high school players, and then it would be, you know, unfortunately, Canadians, you know, other than those top few names that are, you know, no brainer, high major superstar talents, they go under recruited a lot of the time. So I think that's the biggest thing about Canadian basketball right now. And the thing that has to change the most that I'm trying to change too. And the other thing is like the exposure, you know, in America, I mean, you guys, ESPN covers high school prospects, you know, like Geico Nationals are on TV. I mean, we just had OSBA championships a month ago, which is Canada's top prep league. And we can't get that finals game on TV. You know, there's no interest. So I've actually started, I have a YouTube channel, Wes Brown Scouting, where, you know, I've kind of realized that there's opportunity there. And for us to kind of grow the game on a national scale, the way it has in America, we need to kind of build it and let them come once we do it. Because, you know, I've tried, the interest in hockey is still unfortunately there, but it does appear, at least in Canada, that every kid growing up wants to play basketball these days. So it's growing, but there's still ways to go for us to be, you know, we're probably not never going to be on par, you know, maybe we'll win a gold here and there, hopefully in the future, but, you know, to be where we should be.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Now, do kids in Canada like dream ultimately to come to the United States to play? That's kind of the end all goal. Now, you're a one man show, or do you got some people that work with you, or how do you cover a whole country? I mean, you're one guy. How do you do it?
Yeah, in terms of the scouting, it's just me. I think once you have a feel for it, you figure it out pretty quickly. And you know, you build relationships countrywide to know about those sleepers. You know, for example, there's certain provinces, like coaches will just message me, like, here's the list of our provincial, you know, national team, like national level guys, you know, and we'll talk it out and I'll watch the tape. But for the most part, you know, there's so many prep schools popping up in Canada, like, and especially in Ontario, there's a ton. And anybody that's, you know, 6'4" and above, for example, is probably getting recruited or found. You know, and the guys that aren't, I go try to find those guys, you know, but, you know, you make it work. You make sure you see everyone and, you know, keep up to date. You can't always see everyone live, but a lot of the talent is focused in Ontario. And secondarily, I would say is Quebec. And those, you know, Quebec is one province over. So, you know, I was just there a week and a half ago, seeing some of the top young guys. So, you know, you make it work. It's really not as difficult as it appears. It's not as daunting once you figure out the landscape of the land.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we're a Rising Coaches platform, and we have a lot of young coaches, and we have a couple of members that are actually from Canada. What would you advise to, you know, people from other countries to try and come over here and work as coaches as well?
To make it to America?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my whole thing all along was just finding a niche, you know. I mean, there's so many coaches, man. It's much harder. I mean, I see, you know, in Canada, there's very few scouts, very, very few, you know, and there's a million coaches. So, I mean, my advice to everyone always is find a niche and pivot. Like, that's what I've been doing my whole career, is finding a niche, pivot. Okay, this isn't working. Okay, pivot to something else. And then the relationship stuff is everything. I mean, for me, I got lucky. Like, I was, you know, going out and grinding and trying to meet people, and ended up meeting this guy, Jim Kelly, who's been my mentor and has really looked out for me all along. And, you know, I obviously showed him that I knew what I was doing and I had a passion for it and everything, but he really helped me along the way. So having a mentor or someone that, you know, that has those ins and can bring you in those circles, and then, you know, you have to do the work and you have to prove yourself. But I always, for me, it was finding a niche and pivoting until you found something that worked, yeah. Whatever that is, you know.
Definitely, that makes perfect sense. And you know, same thing with anything in the coaching industry. You find what you're good at and either become really good at it. And if there's, you know, it becomes saturated, you got to find something new that you're good at and
keep
relevant. What about people from America, coaches in America? Are there ever opportunities in the Canadian side where they're ever open to hiring or doing something like that? Have you found anyone that's done that type of path in coaching?
Yeah, I mean, there are some American coaches that are coaching in Canada. I mean, I think high school is a really good launching point for pretty much anywhere, and that's primarily what I cover because of the relationship that you build when coaches are trying to recruit your guys. You know, so, but you know, again, it's having to prove yourself. You know, there's a new program, for example, Fort Erie just started this year. You know, and they won the OSBA in their first year. So I think winning goes a long way to, you know, building and building a program and building the relationships to launch you to where you want to go. Yeah, ultimately, like from my experience, because it's so saturated, it's finding that niche that differentiates you.
Yeah, you talk about that a lot. So the niche point of it. So you as a scout, how have you made yourself, what do you do that's uncommon or different, or what do you think that you do that has made you obviously special enough to be, you know, have your own service and different things? Give us some things that you feel like you do are different and helped you become relevant outside of your connections and working hard and, you know, basic stuff of basic evaluations.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that, you know, this is everything, you know, in basketball, their capacity, their ability to process things, their ability, their willingness to care about winning and sacrifice for what they need to do, you know? And so from years of watching, you know, and really analyzing, I kind of have two things that I look for the most. And I think, you know, a lot of guys are looking at talent and I'm looking at winning. What is your impact on winning? You know, and there's two things that I really look for that are like, you know, the keys for me, which are motor and IQ. Why? Motor tells me that if you play hard, no matter what, if you don't get two touches on the offensive end on, you know, two straight possessions, however many it is, you're still going to go back and defend and play hard. That tells me you care about winning and you're willing to do what's necessary. And IQ, similar type of thing, making the right play and willing to give it up, you know, with a dump off when you have an opportunity right there at the rim, but there's an easier play to be made, you know, and that again tells me that you care about winning. And so, you know, when I watch guys, I'm really analyzing their mindset, and more so than, you know, their physical talent and all that. And also their ability to process things as it comes, right? How quickly are they able to rotate? Are they able to get to that spot? Are they willing to give up their body offensively? You know, can they make plays from a standstill? Okay. Can they make plays off the bounce? Can they make all the reads? Can they see, you know, can they make that split second decision when they're blitzed, you know, to just make the simple play rather than try to over dribble and do too much. So I'm really just, you know, basketball is just about taking what they give you, you know, and that's kind of how I look at it, right? You know, whatever coverage they give you, there's always an option there, you know? And so I kind of look at it like, you know, how quickly can you process all that stuff and how much do you show in your actions that you care about winning, you know, and obviously the athleticism and the shooting and the footwork and the skill set play a huge factor. But I really lean towards guys who can consistently make good winning unselfish decisions because I know that projects to every level of basketball, you know, whereas talent or a guy who needs shots to succeed, those types of guys scare me unless they're at a certain superstar level physically, you know, shooting, whatever it is. I tend to just, you know, I'm really safe in that. I need to make sure that I know that you care about winning, you know, because I know that you're going to be able to play anywhere and succeed no matter what your role is, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. I think so many coaches put their blinders on sometimes. Oh, they see a guy dunk it in some capacity, or they see them make the highlight play. And that's kind of what our society's gone to with social media and what we emphasize and what we prioritize. And, you know, it's backwards. You know, popularity is not always what wins. Sure. You know, finding guys like that. So how do you kind of grade that? So it's not something you can touch or say or stat. So, you know, when you evaluate, what is it different that, you know, when you're putting your reports together and things, obviously you're writing about that, but do you have a IQ chart or a motor chart or something along that kind of helps you, quote unquote, put guys in stars or ratings or different things
yeah.
to get them higher?
Yeah, I mean, I do have, like, I have a Maple Leaf rating system, which I created, which, you know, you guys have 5 stars. And I thought for the sake of Canadian players and, again, the hype that is actually important, unfortunately, I created that system, you know, and I have my rankings and stuff. And you know, I think that's the feel. What you're asking is that's the feel as a scout, right? It's like, you know, does their motor make up for their shot being wonky, you know? And it's always a give and take of, you know, you're never going to find the perfect player, but if they do a bit of this, you know, can we make up for it with a bit of that? You know what I mean? So, you know, if a guy, you know, likes to take selfish shots on offense, but he plays really hard on defense. Okay. Like, you know, now we're talking a little like, hey, he can score. He might take some bad shots, but he's always going to give you his all on the defensive end. That's a very simple example, but you know, it's always a give and take. So I don't have anything specific, but in each instance, you're always trying to evaluate that give and take of, you know, okay, they do something that you don't like a little, or that's not ideal, but do they make up for it? And that's the instincts as a scout where, you know, I always like to narrow it down to one sentence, whatever I'm talking about. Like I'll write a whole report on the guy, but at the end of the day, you know, Brian is a pass first true point guard, you know, that doesn't settle and likes to get downhill and create easy buckets at the rim, but struggles to shoot, you know, like one sentence, here's who they are and frame it so that you can understand after all these, you know, specific points about their physical skills and their mental ability and their ability to think the game, you know, who they are. So that's kind of how I do it.
Yeah. Clarity gives you power. I really like your, you know, uniqueness to, you know, your brand names and things with Monday. The Monday thing is awesome. I think the Maple Leaf rating system, very creative and innovative and catchy. Dive into that a little bit deeper. You know, what goes into that exactly, or how do you know, do you have a rubric that you follow, or is it just kind of up here and you just kind of write it? But, you know, making that one sentence is obviously important, but what goes into that Maple Leaf rating system where, you know, younger people could kind of dive into or understand a little bit better about how to become a better player?
Yeah. I have some things I outline. I mean, it's like, you know, vision, motor, IQ, athleticism, scoring, shooting, something like that, you know, but it's not finite. I pretty much go off my feel, to be honest. Like at the end of the day, I mean, I'll you know, that sets the tone, and then I decide whether I need to adjust it based on, you know, what I've seen. Those are really just my evaluations, you know, and we're on a different scale than America, right? Like a 5-leaf guy in Canada is not necessarily, you know, they probably would be a pretty, you know, at least a 4-star. But we are, you know, we just simply don't have as much talent. So I'm trying to still give that platform. Like, hey, if he's a 5-leaf guy in Canada, you know, those are the high major type players. He may not be an NBA player, but those are the guys who are, you know, who can play pretty much anywhere. So yeah, I have my own system. The 4-leaf guys are usually low to mid major type guys, and the 3-leaf are usually U Sport Canadian University. But you know, it's kind of like it kind of sucks because, you know, kids who get 3-leaf are insulted. But really what I'm saying is I really like you. Like, you know, we all know you that you're a Canadian university player. But what I'm saying is I'm willing to stick my neck out to my clients for you, that I think you're a plus to their team, to wins, you know? And so kids look at it a certain way, but what I mean to say by it is at this level, you're able to help that team win. At this level, I think you're able to help that team win. You know, and I'm not just handing those out left, right, and center. I'm giving it to the guys who I've evaluated that I think can help teams win at that level. So that's really what it boils down to. It's always winning.
Yeah, all about winning. I mean, that translates. It always translates, like you kind of said. You know, I'm a young coach, or I want to dive into that space or find something unique about myself in recruiting. How would, you know, where would I start? in Canada? Besides subscribing to your service, where would we start? You know, who are the power players? Who would you, you know, suggest, or who does a really good job that we may not know about, or, you know, want to align ourselves with or talk to or start building relationships with in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's like, what would it be, like six AAU program, major AAU programs that have, you know, been there the last little while. There's two on the Nike circuit, two on the Adidas, and two on the Under Armour. But, you know, there's always players that pop up all over the place. So, you know, that's kind of, that's where the value comes in for me, kind of, and those relationships, understanding all that stuff. But there's definitely, you know, like on Under Armour, there's Northern Kings and Canada Elite, both out of Toronto. Canada Elite's been producing a ton of high-end talent the last few years. On Nike, there's been Uplay and Bounce. Both of them have produced a ton of high-end talent, like NBA level talent. And on Adidas, there was Grassroots. Now it's Elite Six, and Brookwood out of Montreal. So all five of the teams are from Toronto, and then there's one team in Montreal, Brookwood. But yeah, I mean, it's there's always guys all over the place. So where do you start? Just picking up the phones and seeing what's out there. I don't, you know.
Yeah. What's kind of the best thing that can happen to you right now moving forward? So you've built this brand, you're a younger guy, like you're starting to get your name out there and doing a really good job. So what is it, you know, how can we elevate, how can we help you? How can our Rising Coaches community help you elevate your brand and your awareness in Canada, basketball in general?
Well, I'm just trying to sell my service, to be honest. Like, I'm trying to expand my service to every team. I mean, you know, I charge more than most services, but I cover a whole country and I know how hard I work. So, you know, it's getting over that barrier, and it's always a relationship thing. Like, this is what, like, you know, I was saying before, it's like hand-to-hand combat, seeing you face to face and being able to talk to you and show you, you know, that's everything. So for coaches, whatever it is, being there in person, being in the gym is everything. You know, like I've honestly built a brand off just being in the gym. It wasn't that I was a good scout, it's that I just showed up in the gym all the time, and that got you in the conversations. So it would be the same thing for coaches or anyone, just showing up always. And, you know, at the beginning, obviously willing to do your stuff for free and do whatever it takes to make a name. But I mean, for me, I don't know what's next, to be honest. Like I'm launching, I have my Monday hoodies. I'm actually launching them tonight. They've blown up in Canada. Like, the kids love them. I give them out to, you know, top players, stuff like that. So I'm kind of doing like a merch thing with that. I have my service that continues to expand, and, you know, I talk to NBA teams a lot. So we'll see if anything comes, you know, that way. Like, that would, my goal would be to run an NBA team down the road, but this thing has built, you know, pretty well. So I don't actually know what it's going to turn into. So I'm just blindly going and seeing what comes next, to be honest, Brad.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love, you know, everyone's got dreams and ambitions. Everyone wants to be the next, you know, in coaching. You want to be the next Coach K, or, you know, a guy like you envision. But, you know, I love that you've kind of started yourself. And that, you know, that's kind of our generation of, you know, entrepreneurs and different things. And
it is, yeah.
You should pat yourself on the back for the behaviors that come success with those types of things. Is there anything that I, you know, any questions that I should have asked that I haven't?
No, man, you're good. I mean, the stuff we covered is, you know, that's the state of Canadian basketball right now. It's really hot. It's going really well. There's unbelievable amount of talent. We have, you know, a kid here, Leonard Miller, who I think is a lottery pick straight out of high school as a fifth year guy, you know. So, and you know, there's a few more guys down the pipeline that are going to be that level of prospect, but the exposure and the recruiting, still, there's still levels to be, you know, moved up, hopefully in the near future, you know, more than just the words, hey, you know, Canada's really producing a lot of talent, but actually investing and coming to, and I don't mean by investing, I don't mean, you know, buying my service. I just mean coming and actually going to see the kids and, you know, getting on the ground. So there's still a ways to go, but we're building, man, we're building something special.
Definitely. Definitely. If any coaches out there are interested in diving into the space of scouting, what is there anything specific that you would advise, you know, young people to do?
I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, I think everybody just finds their niche. I mean, I think as a coach, you approach it differently. You approach it more like, what can this guy give me? You know, what specifics can, whereas for me, I'm just looking for overall tools, not more like not as much a specific role. But you know, the interesting thing is that everybody has their like way. You know, I mean, my circle of scouts that I'm close with, we're all guys that just, you know, we think the same way. We really value winning over anything and high level decision making and IQ and feel for the game. You know, but other people might value, you know, guys like Scotty Barnes. I mean, Scotty Barnes happens to have all that, but you know, those big, long, athletic bodies that are switchable, and we can turn them into a basketball player, right? And it's just whatever your brand is. So you figure that out over time. Like the whole motor and IQ thing, I really just came up with over time because that's really how I think and who I am as a scout. But that doesn't mean I'm right, and that doesn't mean anything other than that's just the way I approach it. And I have to know that you care about winning before I'm willing to, you know, to help you with recruitment, to be honest. Like, you know, that's really what I'm looking for, unless your talent is so unbelievably obvious, right? So that's my approach, but everyone has their own approach. And I think just by watching and seeing how guys, you know, you see a lot, like it's really interesting watching high school. You see, you know, kids that you thought would succeed fail, kids that you thought would fail succeed, you know? So you just have to see, you know, watch and learn and remember, you know, you remember everything you see, and, you know, you're always just doing the math of, you know, what you like and what the levels of guys are and trying to figure it out. But I think everyone's on, it's a case by case basis for everyone to figure out what your brand of scouting is.
That sounds good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. Where are you now? Where are you headed next? What's your next project?
Yeah, I'm in Portland at the Hoop Summit. We have one Canadian kid here. I mentioned Leonard. So here through Friday, and then go home and try to relax for a bit, to be honest. It's been a hectic season and a hectic last few weeks. We just had the BioSteel game last weekend, the Canadian High School All-Star game. And then I'll go to EYBL and, you know, the Under Armour and Adidas circuits, and the grind continues, Brian.
There you go. Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the Rise of Coaches podcast, and have a great weekend, and keep evaluating and changing the world of Canadian basketball.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yep. Take care.